What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy hump day. Oh my God, it's Wednesday. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day to everyone who celebrates. And hey, Jax, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy hump day. It's a special hump day because Bruno, you can't see him, which is so unfortunate for you.
Disgusting.
He got groomed this morning.
Theo's getting groomed today.
Gorgeous with his fresh crop. He's so handsome for his mommy. And he wanted to come on the show to show everyone his new look. So everyone, this is Bruno's fresh top. He has a fresher haircut than his mommy. And he's so excited to be here.
You know what must be nice about being a dog? Like, you get a haircut, and since they don't really have, like, emotional intelligence, like, there's no breakdown that ensues afterwards, you know? Like, no pulling your hair out in the bathroom, no freaking out that your hair is too short. Like, it's just a haircut. That must be, like, what it's like to be a boy.
Or they're freaking out on the inside, have no way to communicate that he doesn't like this haircut that I give him every few weeks and that he wants his long mane like Samson.
Potentially, but I think my idea of what it's like is better.
I think Bruno loves having short hair, even though this isn't the typical cavalier crop. Cavaliers are meant to be very long and, you know,
grown
show
out.
Dogs, grown out, very long hair. But Bruno loves to play, and you can't play hard with long hair like that. So I think he loves his buzz cut.
Bruno loves to play hard.
He plays hard. He works hard and he plays hard.
Ain't that the truth?
Don't we all?
It's Wednesday. We have a fabulous show for everyone. We've got Dear Toasters, which is a highlight of my week. They're quite unique today. I wonder how we're going to get these girlies out of these pickles.
Well, I know if anyone can, it's us.
100%. Who are you going to call?
We'll solve any crime by dinner time.
Who are you going to call? Dear Toasters. So before we dive in, little shameless self promo, girlwithnojob.com/tour. I have a show tomorrow in Red Bank, New Jersey. Very limited seats left. I suggest you come. And then I'm headed to the PNW, Pacific Northwest, Portland and Seattle, in September. So girlwithnojob.com/tour. If you like what you see here, come see me on tour. I'm going to do stand up. We're going to have a good time. We're going to drink spritz. You're going to hang out with like-minded individuals, which is really one of the better parts of the Not Like Other Girls tour, is being around like-minded individuals.
Definitely. So when are those PNW shows? Just so I know when you'll be leaving town.
I know, because it's my wedding anniversary. I have to do better about, like, booking shows around, you know, personal times. This tour was Ben's birthday and our anniversary, so he's not too happy with me, but, like, I have to work on my art, you know?
100%. Okay, so that's September
17th and 18th.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, that's, like, right when I was planning on coming to New York, so I'm glad I know that. I'm glad you shared that information with me.
Oh, lordy lord.
It's okay. I haven't booked my... I can pivot.
Pivot. Like, sometimes the show would be so much better if you watched Friends.
No, I think the show would be worse. I think it's so important that we represent both camps of Friends files and Friends loathers.
You are that of the latter, Friends loathers.
And you are a Friends file.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Like, it's important to have dynamic discussions here on the Morning Toast, which is exactly what we do. I just wish, you know, I wish you could understand, like, my references, you know?
I do understand a lot of them because you explain them to us.
It's just, like, not as fun when you have to explain.
Okay, well, I'm glad that we really don't do that anymore. You've kind of moved on from Friends. I feel like you don't, not that you've moved on, you're just, you know, in a different place. I feel like the way that you used to watch Friends, now you read books for comfort.
100%. And I just, with friends, for me, I like go in waves. There'll be like a period of weeks where I'll just rewatch it. And so it's very topical and, you know, top of mind. But then, you know, there are weeks and months that go by that I don't watch it. When I'm on tour, I watch it. If the hotel has like a Chromecast, I love a good Chromecast.
Great. I couldn't be more proud that through my work and my endeavors, you have replaced watching Friends with reading books. My work here is done.
100%. Like, what are you doing? You're washing your hands of me.
You know, I can set you free and let you fly.
And you can work on someone else.
Who should I work on next? There's only so many people who will allow me into their personal space to work right on them.
The thing is, you should work on Ben.
Ooh, getting him to read. Actually, you know who I've been working on?
Because he hates when I read.
You know who I've been working on, though? Olivia. Zach? It's going nowhere.
Oh, okay. Because, like, when you try and get to turn someone into a reader, the first step is, like, deconstructing what they know about reading. Because what we all know about reading is, like, Torture Fest 2000 from high school. Like, having a pit in your stomach when the summer's almost over because you haven't started The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Middle of the Night. Like, the sheer anxiety and panic that would come from books when we were kids has stuck with us all well into adulthood.
It's not even that, actually, that I confront with some reticent readers. It's that they think they know what reading is about. They're like, no, I know. I read sometimes, and I don't want a Kindle. I like the feeling of a book. And when there's a book I want to read, I read it, and I read on vacation. But it's like you're closing yourself off to a world of opportunity. They think that reading means, you know, no TV, no fun. It's just rigorous scholastic work. And it's all the TV, all the fun, plus your imagination and your brain is doing some legwork. Anyways, it's that. It's like Olivia being like, no, I know about reading. I just don't want to do it. It's like, but you don't know about reading.
Yeah. And I also think that people really underestimate like how much time they have. Like, I think when people think of their free time, like they want to watch TV and scroll on their phone and like be with their families. And you can fit reading into that. Like, you definitely can.
And look at Claudia, who scrolls on their phone, watches TikTok, and bees with their family more.
And don't get me wrong, my screen time on TikTok has definitely gone down, but it's still above average.
It's taken like, a hit.
It's taken a hit, but I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing for me.
Not at all whatsoever. So I'll work on Olivia and Ben, two extremely stubborn people, very set in their ways. But you know who's more stubborn? Me.
Yeah, it's true. Like, you're not stubborn, you're persistent.
Persistent, especially when I know what's good for you. Ooh.
Literally the only time in recent memory, like ever actually since knowing Ben, he read my book, which honestly, I did not think he was going to do. Like, he went into the living room like on a Sunday. I think my book came out on Tuesday, and he waited till the very last minute and he sat on the couch and read the whole thing in a matter of hours. And I was like 95% sure he was just sitting there playing video games. I was like watching him on the dog camera, but he did read it. But besides that, the one time that Ben, in the time that I've known him, which is almost 10 years now, the one time he came close to reading a book was when we were on vacation and we were both in Hudson News. And I didn't read back then either. But I'm like, let's get like cute books like for the trip. I bought, I want to say it was Drew Barrymore's memoir. Like, it was in the airport and it was like the closest thing to something that I would read. And Ben bought Aziz Ansari's memoir. Like, didn't read a page. But like, if you ask him what the last book he read was, he will say Aziz Ansari.
And like what his favorite book is? Aziz Ansari.
Literally.
That's really funny. Okay,
So I would love that because he hates when I read. Like, every time he comes into the room and, like, I'm not watching TV and I'm just reading, he's like, oh, my God, you're reading again. Like, he just complains about it.
He doesn't want to see you thrive, honestly. He doesn't want to
see me further my education.
He doesn't want to see you advance yourself scholastically.
He doesn't support women in literature. And for a man who's married to a New York Times bestselling author, that's disgusting.
It's disgraceful. He doesn't support literate women. He just doesn't. No.
He supports illiterate women. And that's disgusting.
Damn.
It's not right.
Extra, read right. All about it. Ben Stopper does not support literacy in women.
And honestly, I expect a full rebuttal from him on his podcast, Good Guys, from Toast News Network. Now available anywhere you stream podcasts. I did finish a book last night that, like, you know, when you go off of Goodreads, like, you troll Goodreads, it's so hit or miss. Like, I found Every Summer After, before it became trendy, I read it before everyone else, on Goodreads. And I was grateful to the Goodreads algorithm for bringing me to this book. Mm-hmm. The Goodreads algorithm kept shoving this one book in my face. And I was like, you know what? Maybe, like, I should just lean in.
What book?
The Spanish Love Deception. When I tell you, I was embarrassed to be reading this this book. Like, it was not good. And I liked the characters. That was the thing. Like, I liked both the main characters. Like, the girl, she had spunk. You know, I liked her. She was, like, this fiery Latina. Like, I really liked her. The guy was, of course, this, like, stoic, you know, former football player. Like, really, like, my favorite. But, like, everything else just, like, stunk. And I just know if, like, it's coming, it's being pushed. Like, Goodreads has an agenda, and they're pushing it on you. And the Spanish Love Deception is a part of that agenda. And I just want to, I want to warn everyone, like, don't get tricked. Like, it's not good.
Yeah, Goodreads is an amazing platform. I would say, you know, 99% of the time, like, it is everything it needs to be. But sometimes it's just very, like, biased and almost like they have an agenda.
Right, like, they personally wrote the book themselves and they want as many people to read it as possible.
Or they're getting money, you know, per, or they work with certain publishers or whatever. But, or it's just like, those are the books that surface because that's what everyone's reading, because that's what, like, the book world has put forward. You know what I mean? Maybe right. Goodreads is just, like, a victim of 100%. Publishing politics.
100%. And so are we. We're merely victims.
Merely victims. I am reading my book so slowly because I just haven't had the time. I was at, like, 15% yesterday, and I started it, like, 6 days ago. But it just got crazy. Like, now I'm only at 20% now, and, like, oh my God, it's insane. It's called Before We Were Yours by Lisa Wingate, and apparently it's based on true things that happened. This isn't a true story, but the crazy thing that happened, and it seems like is happening, is something that did happen. And I'm just like,
in the world or to the author?
In the world.
Got it.
And I'm not okay. It's really tough. It's sickening. Like, it's a book where it's like a physical reaction.
Yeah.
To what's going on. So I really want to get through it, because then we are recording The Redheads next week. So I have to get through it. We're reading Everything I Know About Love by Dolly Alderton. It is a snitch's choice for everyone who loves to jump in on a snitch's choice. Come in, the water's warm. But Snitch kind of shook things up this month, which I love for her, since we've read literally the same book, three books in a row from her. Because this is a memoir, and it's apparently very self-reflective about, like, your 20s, what you learn along the way. I think from what I've read from the Redheads who have already read it, they relate to different pieces of it. Some people relate to the whole thing. Some people relate to less or more. So I'm really excited to have a conversation about, like, what the fuck we're up to in our 20s.
Snitches growing up.
Snitches growing up. That's the headline. Snitches growing up, and Ben doesn't support literate women.
That's today's title. Should it be Ben doesn't support literate women, or Ben supports illiterate women?
But illiterate women deserve support. So,
right, that's true. And it sounds condescending. Like, there's literally, it's not that, like, there's nothing bad about being illiterate. Like,
no,
it's, you know what I mean?
Honestly, like, if you're saying he supports them, it kind of sounds like he's trying.
It sheds him in a positive light.
And he's trying to help them become literate, which is not what he's doing.
No, he's not reading to them. No. Ben doesn't support literate women. She's not a Christian.
She could be a Jew and believe in God.
Ain't that the truth, sis? Oh my God, I saw the most insane. You know when, like, you've seen enough internet?
Yeah.
Like, the internet has out-interneted itself.
Mm-hmm.
There was, like, this thread on Twitter, and, like, people were being dead fucking serious talking about Anne Frank having white privilege. And I was so shook up by this conversation. I really couldn't. That's what I had to start reading. That's why I finished my book, because I said, you know what, internet?
Not today.
I've seen enough today. Thank you so much.
Was this a conversation between serious people, or how did you find it?
Because it went so viral. Because somebody had tweeted it, like, you know, I'm going to figure out the right way to phrase this, but I don't really know if there is. Anne Frank had white privilege. And I was like,
she was so privileged.
Right. The replies were so, like, mixed, but the tweet had, like, thousands of retweets and favorites. I'm like, there's no way people don't think this is crazy, right?
Yeah.
And that's when I really, like, I had enough.
Yeah.
I've seen what I've needed to see. Good day.
But what's crazy is, like, there probably are a lot of people, aside from in the mixed reviews, who, like, would be like, yeah, she did.
Yeah, or at least, like, entertain the conversation. And you know what? Personally, I'm not getting, like, I'm not even going to explain to you why that's so fucking stupid.
Beyond.
Beyond. So that's what I did last night. I read a book after seeing enough.
After seeing enough. Yeah, I had a productive evening as well. Little, you know, emails. If you got an email from me at 11 p.m., what's up?
Oh. I'm so glad you brought that up. Speaking of emails, you were 100% right that J-Lo was doing not a Vogue exclusive, but on the JLo.com exclusive. She released the sneak peek pics of her wedding on her newsletter. And she posted on her Instagram at like literally noon, like sneak peek on the JLo.com. And I had signed up yesterday. You all saw me sign up. No, 2 days ago. You all saw me sign up. That email did not come in for several hours. I got it around 7 p.m.
Huh. Do you think that they crashed on the JLo server?
No. What I do think, though, is somebody who works in, like, email marketing had messaged me, like, if they have your email on file as being previously unsubscribed, like, you get pushed to the back.
Why is it, like, a queue for emails? I didn't realize when there's this newsletter, some people get it sooner than other people. It's technology.
I have no idea, but I do think her releasing the photos on the JLo.com was the best thing that ever happened to Chris Appleton, because he posted a lot of his photos on Instagram and TikTok, and like, why subscribe when you could just see it on Chris Appleton?
Yeah, well, we have a story about JLo and her wedding Luke's today, so save all your thoughts.
Yeah, because there's things going on with Leah.
Uh-oh. Our resident expert Leah Remini Stan will dive in after the break.
After the break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You know, I do love being like a personality in new media, like a digital girly. But part of me like was meant to be like, hi, I'm Claudia Ashray, and this is your Eyewitness News Movie Minute.
No offense. That was like a little
like lackluster. Stale.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
Try again.
I don't know why. Yeah, I was like taking it too
seriously. You're like depressed. Maybe because you're like working for the news.
Yeah, on like some low level local.
She's
news
a weather woman in Alaska.
Hi, I'm Claudia Ashray, and this is your Eyewitness News Movie Minute.
That was definitely more effervescent, but just for me, like I just knew it was, you know, a front because we just saw your last take.
Okay, no, wait, let me do one more time.
Okay.
After the break, man chained to a well for 65 years emerges, and he's a Jew? Don't go anywhere.
We'll have the answers when we come back.
Ooh, that was good. Well, you, like, in another world, like, should have been, you know,
an actual TV anchor host. Anchor woman.
Yeah, like, when you were in college, you hosted the Colgate Centennial or whatever that thing was called. Was it a radio channel?
It was, like, a little web show.
iCarly.
Little web show. Yeah. I guess that was like my dream job, but this is so much better. This is so much better than that.
Literally.
And like, I don't think anyone will hire me.
Right. No, with your disgraced background, girly, good luck. We both better pray to the Lord that this show stays successful for as long as possible, because the odds of us getting another job after yesterday on the show I said build the wall, like, no.
But the good news is the way this show stays successful or not is completely dependent on us. So
yeah. And by the way, like, if you missed yesterday's episode, like, I didn't say it in a serious, like, it was a joke, okay? Like, please don't. I'm not about to cancel myself again.
It was a really funny segment. You should check it out.
100%.
Okay, I think without further ado, it is time to
die. So too.
I guess when I do this part, this is like me on my anchor woman grind.
Yes.
Without further ado, they don't talk like that though, but okay. No, it is time for the fast five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast. And we'll have more for you after a word from our sponsors.
Ooh, yes. And now a word from our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by Bruch, an electric toothbrush that will change the way you think about brushing your teeth. With powerful sonic technology and ultra-gentle bristles, the Bruch redefines what it means to have super clean teeth. It's that feeling when you just leave the dentist, a fresh, whole clean mouth, but every single day. I used my Bruch this morning. I'm going on like a year and a half with Bruch, and I've seen results. I love the aesthetically pleasing design on my countertop. Ben loves it. It's travel-friendly. The battery lasts so long. And you don't want to miss out when they drop new colors, because it's kind of like Chanel.
Mm-hmm.
They use industry-leading sonic technology to produce 42,000 brush strokes per minute, and that is 300 brush strokes per minute. So this helps with deep cleaning in the hard-to-reach places. You can get your tongue. They have different settings for different parts of your mouth. The kit comes with three brush heads and their charging stand, which is magnetic. You can get 20% off when you pick up your brush kit and the plan when you go to brush.com/toast. That's 20% off your brush kit and the plan when you go to brush.com/toast. Today's episode is also brought to you by Seed. It turns out everything you think you know about probiotics may be wrong. Like that probiotic tortilla chip you bought at the grocery store? Too good to be true. Well, the DS01TM Daily Symbiotic is the real deal, and it's from Seed. Because not all probiotics are created equally. So the broad spectrum 2-in-1 probiotic and prebiotic 24 strain broad spectrum probiotic and prebiotic are formulated for digestive, gut immune, and additional systemic benefits. So if you've been wanting to get into a prebiotic or a probiotic and you don't really know where to start because it can be kind of overwhelming and there's so many out there, Seed is a brand that you can trust. It obviously is beneficial for your gut, but so much more beyond that. It helps with the ease of bloating, healthy regularity, ease of evacuation, if you know what I mean, duty central. It'll support your gut barrier, your skin health, your heart health, and the micronutrient synthesis. So this is like a really easy way to get into just like bettering yourself overall. It's not overwhelming to start. Seed is a great brand. And you can start a new healthy habit today when you go to seed.com/toast and use the code toast if you want 20% off your first month of Seed's DS01TM Daily Symbiotic. That's seed.com/toast and use code toast for 20% off. I recently became a probiotic girly, and I know people have been telling me to do it for a long time, and it wasn't until I found Seed that I actually started doing it. And you will notice like a visible difference in your digestive tract. I think that's a good way to put it. Your duty-licious moments. And there's nothing better than just being like a duty-licious girly. That's really what I wanted to say.
A regular duty-licious girl.
Yeah. So my body's too duty-licious for you, babe.
I don't think you're ready for this duty. I don't think you're ready for this
I'm not. Duty. But I am now, thanks to Seed.
Are you ready for our first story?
Yes.
Jennifer Lopez has shared the three Ralph Lauren wedding dresses that she wore for her nuptials with Ben Affleck. In an epic all-white wedding ceremony at his Georgia home on August 20th, she sported three Ralph Lauren gowns in one night. The first, which she wore to walk down the aisle, was a twist on the designer's classic turtleneck column dress with over 1,000 handkerchiefs and 50 meters of fabric. They were cut into ruffles and attached by hand. The bride also wore nearly $100,000 worth of Mikimoto jewelry, pairing delicate white pearl and diamond earrings with a matching floral ring. She also shared two more wedding dress looks, each one more
stunning
and I would say extravagant than the next, because usually you start with the big one
down,
and then you get more comfortable, and then a comfortable
jumpsuit
mini dress. Exactly. Not for J-Lo though. She went for all the way
glamour. Mm-hmm. So I find it so interesting, like, because J-Lo and Ben thus far have been just like extreme thirst monsters about their whole relationship. And I feel like there wasn't really any hoopla around these pictures. And that's because she did on the JLo.com. Like, it kind of muffled the excitement, I think.
Yeah.
As if it had been like a People exclusive, a Vogue exclusive, Martha Stewart Weddings exclusive, the Not exclusive. Like, it just wasn't as big of a deal. And I guess like she sacrificed that PR moment to gather data for her tech company, which is totally fine. I just feel like nobody cares.
Yeah, I agree. I really hope that these emails are worth it. Like, email marketing is big business. And if you have a huge list of email subscribers, like, you can sell that for a ton of money. So I'm the businesswoman in me is like, great. But also the businesswoman in me is like, J-Lo has like so many business ventures. Like, did she really need these emails?
Yeah, like, honestly, we're not living in the dot-com boom anymore. Like, I don't think her, like, you could sell data for a good amount of money, but, like, not as much as you used to be able to.
No, I think it's still big business. Data is the most valued commodity in the world, more than oil.
Yeah, I guess.
More than oil.
But, like, she's, when I signed up, like, you just need your email. Like, some people do first name, last name, birthday, gender, like.
Give me your email and I'll give you the world, targeted.
The world. That's literally should be the slogan for On the JLo. OnTheJLo.com. Give us your email. We'll give you the world.
Give us your email and you won't stop hearing from email marketing companies for the rest of your life, and you'll have to start a new email and take that email off your phone because you're getting more spam than actual productive emails.
Wait, Jayla's giving Jen Shah energy.
No, I mean, this is all legal, and I don't think she sold her database.
No,
yet.
I was kidding. It's totally legal.
It's just annoying.
And it's just weird and kind of lowbrow for someone of J-Lo's status.
And I just don't understand how it's such big business when it's like, when I get an email from someplace that I did not subscribe to, even when I get it to like something I did subscribe to because I shopped online, straight to deletion, don't even open it. Like, how is that making you guys
and
money?
To the person who invented like the unsubscribe button on Apple, kiss me on the mouth.
Yeah, that and the one where if you get a verification passcode, it comes up as like, we're living in the future.
Jackie, to that person, kiss me on my butthole, literally. Like, I love this man.
Yeah.
Or a woman. Or a woman.
I would love to.
Whoever. To the person who invented the code thing where it pops up and you don't have to leave the screen. Literally, fellatio for all.
We need more capabilities such as that one.
Yeah, like actually making our lives better, not just making us buy new chargers every month.
I have so many chargers because all of my devices now require a different charge. My new iPad has a lightning cable. My two computers have two different chargers.
Me too.
Riddle me that one.
No, like being a tech girly means having, if you could see this, I know you haven't been here in a month. If you could see this studio, like there's curds everywhere.
Same for here.
There shouldn't be cords everywhere. I cleaned up the studio before I left. It looks nice.
No, but
right?
Every time you go back and forth, turn
it. You have to reset.
I have to reset. Exactly.
That's tough.
And so I can't even tape down curds because then you come back.
Yeah, no. Curds will be like, aren't we supposed to be like in a technological, like
I
technologically
curd,
advanced society?
I thought we're curd cutting.
Aren't we curd free? Like,
yes, but then, okay, so you want a curd cut, you could have some like wireless charger, that one you need to charge, and two, craps out very quickly.
No, I know.
So the moral of the story is J-Lo looked gorgeous at her wedding.
She did. She looked very beautiful.
No surprise.
And the pictures
there.
Just kind of, no, they just like, this whole thing gives nothing.
Yeah, but you know what? Maybe she just like wants to be, not, she's not low key, she's never going to be, but she's like, instead Demure. Of being like so extra with Ben, like, let me make some money.
Yeah.
And I'll accomplish the same thing. Everyone's going to be obsessed with my wedding regardless. And like, then I don't have to like thirst out People, Vogue, whatever it is. Speaking of Vogue weddings though, since they didn't get J-Lo's, they got Sarah Hyland and Wells Adams' wedding photos, which were quite gorgeous. And questions have been answered as to, was Bachelor Nation schmoozing with Sofia Vergara? And the answer is big fat yes.
Yeah. And you know what? Actually made me have like a lot of respect for Wells, because not only did he still invite like his bachelor friends who are like lowbrow compared to Sofia Vergara and the cast of Modern Family, yeah. But he doubled down. Literally everyone was there. There was the 25 Bachelor contestants.
Yeah, he didn't make cuts.
I thought that was really cool. Like very, like stand up guy of him, you know?
Yeah.
It's easy to drop your loser friends when you're married to literally an actress from the biggest show of all time, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And Chris Harrison was there and Chris Soles yep. was there. The Chrises were right. out and about.
Nick Vile, Jason Tardik, Caitlin Bristow, everyone.
Ben Higgins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which was really nice. You know, I don't give a lot of real estate in my mind to Wells and Sarah Hyland. I know so many people are obsessed with them. I like, when they got together, I thought it was the coolest thing. And then, you know, their ship is at sea and I've moved right. on. But so it hadn't really sunk into me, like, what the fact that they're together, that they're now married and he's from The Bachelor. And she, at one point, like, was on the highest paid
show rated.
On television. And they're married from like just DMs. And it's just so beautiful to see.
No, it really is. And now like we're completely immune to it because it's become so normalized. But like, lest we not forget the time when there was like speculation. They're like, there's no way. And then they were. And it was just like a crazy time to be alive.
Yeah.
And it couldn't have happened to like a really like a bigger mensch in Bachelor Nation. Like everybody exclusively has nice things to say about him. He wasn't this like dick who was like the hottest guy on the show. He was just like this really handsome, nice, salt of the earth guy. And that came through and Sarah liked what she saw.
Nice guys don't finish last. Moral of the story.
No, They really don't.
They really don't.
And she looked beautiful. And they got married in Santa Ynez, which will always be the engagement of Raquel.
And James.
And James from Vanderpump Rules. Also,
which leads to our next story. Oh. Which leads beautifully into our next story. I couldn't have planned it any better. Sheena Shea and Brock Davies are married inside the Vanderpump Rules' couple's Mexico wedding. So J-Lo sent her exclusive to On the J-Lo. Sarah Hyland sent hers to Vogue. And Sheena sent hers to People. And I'm loving all of this exclusive content.
No, but you know what? Everyone who you just mentioned should be extremely grateful to J-Lo. Because if J-Lo had then taken Vogue, it would have knocked everyone down. Then it would have been Sarah and Wells with People, Sheena and
Us Magazine.
Brock, an OK Magazine. Yeah, like everyone would have gotten knocked down a peg. But no, J-Lo is a bride who supports other brides. And because she wanted her own data, she lifted everyone up.
We're moving on up. Exactly. So congratulations are in order for Sheena and Brock. The Vanderpump Rules stars tied the knot on Tuesday in front of their closest family and friends at the Dreams Natura Resort and Spa in Cancun, Mexico. People exclusively confirms. Sheena said, I just wanted us to have a good time with every person who was important to us. She said they were happy to be able to get that time for a few days with all of our friends and family to celebrate us. The stars were joined by a slew of their co-stars, including Ariana Maddox and Raquel Leviss, who were part of Sheena's bridal party, as well as Tom Sandoval and Tom Schwartz, who acted as two of Brock's groomsmen. Brock said they're a big part of our lives. Guests also included past cast members like Jax, Brittany, and Kristen.
So no Stassi, no Katie.
No Stassi, no Katie. Not surprising, especially like, I don't even know if, well, first of all, Sheena wasn't at Stassi's wedding. And maybe even if Stassi was invited, like she has a baby. So you don't go to everything. You can't dance at every wedding anymore. And
did you say Lala was there?
Lala was there because I saw it on Lala's Instagram. But she wasn't mentioned in this article. Now, I have a lot to say. I'm going to start with all the positive things because they're mostly positive. Just this article gets a little weird because, like, the person didn't change the tenses in the pitch email. It says, Sheena will be serving her guests. They will be dining on and they can look forward to fireworks. Like, it's giving lazy. But
yeah,
Sheena looked so gorgeous. I was watching Lala's video. Her and Brock did their first dance. I didn't watch with sound. I think that would have made it better. But then at one point, like Sheena walks off and she brings back Summer and the three of them dance together. Sweet. And I seriously had chills. Like I know that Sheena and Brock are Sheena and Brock. And we could talk about that any other time.
But if you suspend disbelief just while watching this video.
Exactly. I'm not thinking about all that we saw last season today. I'm just not. I'm thinking about the beauty and it looked so beautiful. Sheena looked beautiful and I'm so happy for her. I hope this is everything that she wants. And I truly was taken with how absolutely stunning she looked.
Okay, two things. One, were Brock's children there?
They didn't make the People magazine article if they were. And I'm going to say that they're not.
I'm sure that'll be a storyline.
I'm sure that they weren't.
I'm sure that they weren't as well. And the second thing was, was I the only one who was like really surprised that these two had a formal wedding? Like after their shenanigans last year, like wanting to literally like use the tablecloth from James and Raquel's engagement party as Sheena's veil. I was just shocked that they would then throw their own formal event.
Well, I think that I feel like Sheena would probably have always wanted a wedding. She is very
traditional
and quite choogy in that sense. Mm-hmm. And maybe she always planned to do that. But all the other stuff, you know, and we've all been there, like it doesn't have to be the biggest and the baddest. So maybe they just wanted to like get it into the show, have it nice. And maybe they also might have learned from that and been like, let's do our own thing. Let's have our own moment.
Right. And Sheena had like the very typical LA traditional wedding, lest we not forget Mike Shea. So she probably just wanted like this one to be like smaller and like actually fun.
But it doesn't look like it was small. It looked like, you know, a first wedding.
Oh.
So I'm sure she wants all, like, that doesn't surprise me though for Sheena. Like Sheena's going to give everything her all.
Yeah. And that's like one of her best and worst qualities.
So here is where the article, you know, it's a really long article filled with so many details. And eventually the writer just starts to copy and paste.
Gives up.
Afterward, attendees will take to the roof for a cocktail hour, enjoying a wide selection of drinks and appetizers. Guests will dine on a surf and turf steak and salmon menu during the reception, with a vegan lasagna also available as an option. The newlyweds first.
Who cares?
Newlyweds first dance.
No, seriously, who cares what the vegan option at someone's wedding is? Why is that an important detail?
I don't know. The newlyweds first dance will be soundtracked by Leon Bridges' Beyond because Sheena says the song's lyrics are very close to their hearts. Wait, here's an interesting factoid. While they originally wanted their Vanderpump Rules co-stars band, Tom Sandoval, and the Most Extras to perform, complicated logistics led them to choose a DJ instead for a reception entertainment. Attendees will also be treated to a fireworks display from Pyro Caribe. The fun doesn't stop there as the night continues with an after party at an on-site C-Note. Sheena will change into a short dress from Casablanca Bridal in Newport Beach, California. Okay. As guests close out the night with tacos and more dancing with the help of...
Okay, Jackie, seriously, like, let's not be negative. So let's just stop reading, okay?
I'm being negative about the tenses of this article. You didn't need to include all of that. And if you did, just don't pretend like it's straight from Sheena's email.
Yeah, and I really don't want to be mean. So I'll just be quiet.
Any thoughts on Tom Sandoval on the Most Extras?
Like I said, I really don't want to be mean, so I'll just be quiet.
And according to People Magazine, DJ James Kennedy was doing the after party.
I have been at many event that James Kennedy has DJed, and he's the real fucking deal. Top man. No, he doesn't play his own music. He plays like that one song.
A bad man, she said.
But he's actually a pretty good DJ. Like, he gets lit. Like,
you know, the way he presses play on that iPod.
Is so unique.
Never been done before.
No, he's actually pretty good. Like, he's a good DJ for a wedding after party.
With all your friends and your friends DJ. It's hard to find a DJ for the after party. Who knows a DJ?
No, I know.
I know a playlist that's 100% Fire Flames.
Quarnsteins. It's a very mellow, chill playlist.
Because we're just chill girls.
We're not like other girls.
We're shy. Are you ready for our next story?
Only if it's the next story that's brought to you by Boll & Branch.
Yes.
Boll & Branch sheets aren't just buttery, breathable, and impossibly comfortable. They get softer with every wash. Boll & Branch, so... We are Boll & Branch girlies. I live in a Boll & Branch home. Jackie lives in a Boll & Branch home. We have the Signature Hemmed collection. So the Signature Hemmed sheets from Boll & Branch are their bestseller. They use the highest quality threads on earth for a superior softness and a better night's sleep. They're so luxurious. They've been beloved by 3 U.S. presidents. Why I really like them is because I'm a very, temperature conscious sleeper. And I find that a lot of sheets make me so warm. They're not really breathable. And why I love Boll & Branch is because you really can feel a difference. Like, and when you wake up, you're not in a pool of your own sweat. It helps control your temperature. They're super soft. They wash really well. There's tons of reviews online, tons of 5-star reviews that are hella accurate. And a lot of my bedroom accessory, my bedroom tings, are from Boll & Branch as well. Like my waffle blanket, Jackie has it too, in like a nude. I have it in blue. I always get questions about it. So it really is like premium looking, like very aesthetically pleasing, but also made of good quality threads. They also give you a 30-night risk-free trial with free shipping and returns on all orders. So there's really no reason not to try Boll & Branch. Like, what if you just tried Boll & Branch?
What if you just?
Get 15% off your first set of sheets when you use promo code TOAST at BollAndBranch.com. That's Boll & Branch, B-O-L-L-A-N-D, branch.com, promo code TOAST.
Thank you so much, Claudia.
It's a pleasure.
Next up, Nicole Kidman has lit the internet ablaze with her new tone muscles in her cover shoot for the magazine called Perfect. Have you seen these pics?
A fake magazine called Perfect?
It's a UK magazine. No one's talking about the magazine. We're talking about the pictures.
Oh my God. By the way, celebrities are always on the cover of fake magazines, like, grazia, you know, like.
Yeah.
Wonderland.
Yep.
And I always wonder, like, how these random magazines, like, get celebrities to be on the cover. Like, it's always
interesting. I think it's a combination of things. One, I think when you're really into that world, you know, Wonderland is major. But also, like, if a certain photographer, like, wants to work with you, if you have a thing to promote, if there's, like, a fashion thing element, like, these pictures...
And by the way, Grazia, from at least my point of view, like, started out as a fake magazine, and now I think it's, like, pretty legit.
Yeah.
But it's giving Lydia from Real Housewives of Orange County, Nobleman.
Yeah, I mean, Nobleman has a lot of noblemen on the cover.
They actually had someone pretty famous on the cover at one point. Do you remember who I'm talking about?
Yes, but I feel like it was like Matt Damon or something.
It was like someone legit, and I was like, Lydia.
Go off. Well, no, Nicole Kidman is on the cover looking buff as hell, and everyone is shook up. She's showing off some seriously toned biceps, abs, and quads in the photo while wearing a colorful diesel tank top and modified gray belt-turned skirt with a very mod haircut that I do not believe is her actual hair, short in the front, long in the back.
And is she looking like this for a particular role, or that's just what she looks like on a day-to-day basis?
It's giving that's what she looks like on a day-to-day basis. I mean, I don't know what she has coming up next, but she is shredded. And Nicole Kidman is like so many things. Like, and she's one of those gorgeous, gorgeous women ever. And I just never would have predicted that, like, she
under that
fucking swole, bro.
Yeah. No, she'll beat you up.
She's swole as hell.
I mean, you have to think, like, she had to be in good shape to get away from that scary-ass motherfucker Tom Cruise, like, and Scientology as a whole. You can't just run away if you're not in good shape, you know?
It's true.
So I always knew she was mentally very strong, you know?
Speaking of Scientology, you never told us you're Leah Remini tea.
No tea, but, like, there are reports from, like, totally unsubstantiated and, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Reliable sources. That, like, there is, you know, a break in the friendship and that, you know, her relationship with Ben Affleck was the, like, catalyst for them, you know, taking time apart, Leah and J-Lo.
Whoa.
But it's totally, like, it's like Hollywood Unlocked. Like, it's not...
It's it wasn't hogwash until it's not, just like Kim yeah. and Pete breaking up, just like Kim and Pete being together and Kim and Pete breaking up.
Yeah. But Nicole Kidman, I love this woman. There are many people in Hollywood. Like if I had to, even if I like them a lot, like I could say negative things about, you know, even people I love. Like if I had to come up with something mean to say, like I could. I literally have scoured every corner of my mind looking for something negative to say about Nicole Kidman. And I truly can't.
Yeah.
Queen
on her queen shit.
Oh, also, I don't know if you saw this report about Andrew Garfield.
No, I saw his name, but he's something about a role.
Yeah, so he went on a crazy diet for 6 months, you know, to get in shape. And I'm curious where Lily Reinhart is.
Yeah, she's been really quiet.
I just think, where are all the people who were, like, coming at Kim for wanting to get into shape for the Met Gala? Andrew Garfield did it. Where's Andrew? Just setting a bad example.
Such a terrible example. Also, Lily Reinhart has a new movie on Netflix that looks really good.
Yes, a lot of people are talking about it. It's giving Gwyneth Paltrow sliding doors. Like, you know, if you made this train, your life would have been this way. But if you missed the train, your life would have ended out completely differently. You know, very butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Similar, but not similar. And it looks pretty good. People are talking about it.
It does look good. I hope to watch it someday, you know, if I find the time. It's something that I would have watched in a heartbeat like a year ago.
Netflix is getting their claws into the Riverdale cast. I'm sure they saw how well Riverdale performed on Netflix after the show would wrap on CW. They have a new, I think it's a show or a movie with Camila Mendes that looks also really good, giving high school realness. And I love that for them. Like, good call.
Yeah, agreed.
They should also really pick up Dynasty.
Cast.
Or the show.
They do.
No, like, pick it up officially.
Oh, and create more seasons?
Yeah. It has a huge international following on Netflix. I think, actually, Dynasty made more money for Netflix than the CW made.
Yeah.
So it would kind of behoove them to do what they did with, like, Gilmore Girls, you know?
Yeah, I would love that. Or Arrested Development.
Right.
Are you ready for our next story? Just some positive relationship news.
So refreshing.
We haven't spoken about them in a while, but I just want everyone to know that Channing Tatum and Zoe Kravitz have celebrated their one-year anniversary. They have now hit the one-year mark. And
that flew by.
Sources are saying it's serious. I mean, at 1 year, it's just like Ramona Singer says, like, you need to know someone through every season. And then it's serious. So they have celebrated winter, spring, summer, and fall together.
How old is Channing and how old is Zoe Kravitz?
Channing is 42. Zoe Kravitz is 33.
Okay, that's a nice age. And does Zoe Kravitz have kids? No.
No, I don't think so.
Because I wonder if that's like a next step for them. Like, he has a family with Jen and Dewan. Like, mm-hmm. that part of his life is, like, almost behind him. But she's 10 years younger, and, like, that could be something she wants.
He has one daughter. So.
Oh, okay.
Could go either way.
Yeah, I also feel like when he very briefly dated Jesse Jane?
Jesse J.
Sorry, oh my God. There's so many Jessies, you know? Jesse James. Jesse James Decker. Jesse J.
Jesse Gardner.
I feel like when he was briefly dating her was the time when she was, like, talking a lot about her fertility and, like, her struggles with getting pregnant. Almost as if, like, they were working on it together, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So I think he does want more kids. Like, I think this relationship has potential, like, to have legs.
Totally. Well, a source is telling People that they are very happy, their careers are a big focus, and they share this passion. When they're off, they're very low-key, they enjoy quiet date nights with friends, but most often just hang out at home. Channing is serious about Zoe. It's not a casual relationship. They have been exclusive for a long time. I mean, I hear that.
I totally forgotten about them, which is always a good sign of a public relationship.
Yeah.
Like, so they're just so blissfully happy to be annoying.
I want everyone to have that bit of good news today. Like, know that our ships are out to sea. We only report whether they're sinking or they're, like, fledgling new baby ships. But not about, like, these rock solid couples that you would have never put these two together. But they're making it work.
I couldn't have said it better myself, truly.
Great. So now are you ready for our fifth and final story?
I am. Yes. Yes, I am.
It's a little true crime toast. Yeah, because it has a social media component, which is where we come in. So I don't know if you've been following this story, but a missing California teen named Keely Rodney has been missing for a few weeks, and law enforcement has been looking for her. But a bunch of YouTube divers did in 35 minutes what cops couldn't do in 2 weeks in the search for her, and they found her car and her body in a lake.
Oh, I saw this on TikTok.
The deep diving YouTubers who claim to have found missing California teen Keely Rodney said Monday it took them just 35 minutes, even though authorities had spent nearly 20,000 man hours failing to find her. Adventures with Purpose started searching Prosser Creek Reservoir early Sunday and almost immediately found what they believe is 16-year-old's 2013 CRV with a body inside, they said Monday. It has now been confirmed that that is her.
Oh, that's
they said,
terrible.
We began our search for Keely at 10:40 a.m., lead investigator Doug Bishop said in an update on Monday. By 11:15 a.m., one of the volunteers detected an object underwater using cutting-edge sonar technology. They knew it was a car in roughly 14 feet of water and only 55 feet offshore, with divers soon confirming it was indeed Kylie's vehicle. We immediately notified family and law enforcement, and her dad and grandpa were on the scene within minutes. Also, they have solved 23 other cold cases, this team of divers and YouTubers.
Wow. Okay, so I actually had seen this on TikTok. There was, like, news footage going around because the reservoir where they found her lake, like, had already been cleared by police. Like, they were like, yeah, we looked. It's not there.
Oh.
Which is a huge stain on the police department. Like, come on. Seriously?
Yeah.
Like, a bunch of amateurs can find it. And you already looked there?
Well, they're not amateurs. But there's no reason why they should have access to better technology, better resources, and manpower than law enforcement themselves.
That's true. And I think that's an important point, is that these people are not amateurs. Because I think people, you know, listen to one true crime podcast and start, like, sniffing around national parks for clues. And I think a lot of the times people who have their, like, good intentions just get in the way.
Yeah, for sure.
And make more of an issue for police. But it's nice that, you know, there's a happy ending here.
Yeah.
Well, not a happy ending, obviously. Like, it's a terrible story that a young girl is dead.
Yes, but to have a conclusion and to have answers.
Do we have any answers as to, like, was this nefarious? Like, was it an accident? Would someone put her at the bottom of the reservoir?
I don't know. And I think it's too soon to tell, but hopefully we'll have answers soon. But the founder of Adventures with Purpose said that he started the group in July 2018 using his diving skills to clean up underwater habitats riddled with garbage. But then a family reached out to them in 2019 asking if they might be able to use their skills to help find a missing loved one. And he put their skills to good use. Since then, they have helped families find closure through their search missions, including this particular one. 23 cold cases solved.
See, stuff like this happens a lot. Like, on TikTok sometimes, like, there's a lot of people who go magnet fishing, which is, like, you throw this very, very high-powered magnet into, like, a lake, a stream, any sort of body of water. And it can attract anything metal from like 20 feet away. It's like very, very powerful. And sometimes they find, you know, weapons that were used in like cold cases. So things like that happen. They can find a car. So while I don't think it's like good for people, like anyone to encourage, you know, regular people to like put themselves in danger and like get in the way of police work, sometimes it does. Like even with Gabby Petito, you know, there was footage from like another, you know, group of people who were camping or vanning through national parks, and they had footage like that actually helped the investigation. So sometimes it's good, but sometimes it's not.
Yeah, I think in this particular case, I don't think the message should be like more people should get out there and try deep diving, but I think that perhaps this team could be training law enforcement around the country, things like that.
No, like they need a government contract.
Yeah.
They're doing good work, and that's you'd love to see internet people making a difference.
You love to see internet people making a difference.
And I'm just really terrible story about this girl. I'm wishing her family, you know, peace in the upcoming weeks. It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Wow. Unexpected true crime moment.
I know, but I know how everyone responded to the true crime moment that you shared last week. Plus, with the social media component, I found that to be a very riveting headline.
I also found the conversation that we had about true crime podcasts last week to be really interesting, because we got a lot of good feedback that a lot of like the really big true crime podcasts, like what's the big one?
Crime Junkies, Morbid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. True. Crime Junkies. Crime Junkies. That they work with, you know, the families to raise money. They work with all these great organizations, which was great. But then it got me thinking, and this is something I feel like Shannon Ford brought up to me once, because we're obsessed with like watching the podcast charts. Morbid is the name of like a really popular true crime podcast, right?
Yeah.
And they're in comedy.
Yeah. How?
What's funny about crime?
I don't know.
I've never listened to it, so maybe it is funny, but like seems like a weird choice.
Yeah. No, you would have to listen to it to make that judgment.
And that's not just me saying that, because they're always ahead of us.
But on its face, yeah, what's funny? I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like a very kind of insensitive category. But again, I don't know.
Maybe we should listen.
Nah, I'd rather listen to The Morning Toast or Good Guys or Mood with Lauren Elizabeth or The Snatchler or Caviar Dreams with Margaret Josephs or Girls Night with Alexis Waters or The Redheads Book Club, because I heard it's never too late to become a redhead.
It's
or probably a podcast with Shannon Ford.
It's never too late to become a redhead. Thank you for resurfacing that. I just want to circle back to something from the beginning of the show. We're recording our episode next week. Today would be the perfect time to decide to become a redhead and finish the book in time for next Thursday's episode.
This is your sign.
This is your sign. If you've been looking for one, maybe feeling like, oh no, everyone who's a redhead, like they have too many inside jokes. I'll never get it. If I listen to the episode, I won't know about the girls or who's who. It's not like that. It's never like that.
You know what you should do?
An introductory.
Intro to redheads. That you can kind of just leave in the app store. Bios on everyone, how you all know each other, whose book type is what.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That is a good idea. You're welcome.
I'll talk to the girls, try and get another. It's hard enough finding one time a month.
It only needs to be like 20 minutes. Yeah, no. It doesn't need to be like a whole long ass episode.
I know, but we really put a lot of quality into everything that we do. Like nothing at the Redheads is below that standard.
And by the way, I think on a lot of podcast platforms, you can have like an intro episode stay at the top.
Yeah.
So that every time someone comes to the Redheads, it comes up right first and then into the episodes, which I think is cool.
Okay. We'll work on that.
Yeah. Just letting you know. So the show's not done yet because it's Wednesday, which means it's Dear Toasters Day. And we're going to help some of our fellow toasters navigate through some of life's trials and tribulations. And that is brought to you by Fashion Pass. So many toasters already know and love Fashion Pass, but it is truly the steeniest clothing rental service. You will get unlimited rentals for one flat price. And you have a bunch of different options when it comes to clothing rentals. But unfortunately, all of those other options are for fugly clothes. Like, Fashion Pass is that bitch because the price, it makes sense, but the clothes are actually cute. There's stuff that's actually being sold right now on websites like Revolve. It's brands that are sickening. Like, it's brands you want, not just like random grandma muumuus. Not that there's anything wrong with a muumuu.
Or you save so much money. Grandmas.
Period. You'll save so much money because you're not out buying clothes, and they have the best brands. For Love and Lemons, Free People, Show Me Your Moo Moo, Amanda Uprichard. If you're there, they have a bunch of different plans, but we're on the Trendsetter plan. So you pick 3 clothing items and 2 accessories for every order, and you can switch them out as many times per month as you want. They ship super fast. They take care of dry cleaning. So you just send it back with the pre-labeled bag they give you. And when you're done, you'll get to choose new items. If you've been wanting to get into clothing rental, or you've been doing clothing rental but haven't really feel like the clothes are like cute and fun and young and trendy and on trend, check out Fashion Pass. I know you guys love it and you're always asking for the code. If you go to fashionpass.com and use code TOAST, you'll get $40 off your first month, so you can try it for just $39. It's unlimited rentals for just $39 with code TOAST at fashionpass.com. All right, ready?
Mm-hmm.
If you ever want to write into Dear Toasters, get some advice from your favorite girlies, totally anonymously, it's deartoasters@gmail.com. Dear Jackson Claude, my husband and I, we should also change the name of the segment from Dear Toasters to Dear Jackson Claude.
Agreed.
But we'll leave it, you know, don't mess with perfection.
For now, rebrands are coming like one day soon. There will be rebrands aplenty around here.
My husband and I recently moved from the city to the suburbs about a year ago. My husband has 2 good friends that still live in the city, so occasionally if they all hang out at our house, they end up staying super late, drinking, coming back to our house, making late night food, and then just sleeping over. When they sleep at our house, they're set up in the living room on a pullout couch. We have a small house and no guest room. We have a baby and a dog, so in the morning I have to go into the kitchen, which is connected to the living room, to make a bottle, make coffee, feed our dog, let him out, etc. I feel like I have to be quiet and not wake anyone up. Mind you, it's at like 6 or 7 a.m. when the baby wakes up, but sometimes they'll sleep till like 11 or so. I feel trapped upstairs when they wake up, until they wake up and leave. They are respectful, they clean up after themselves, and they always thank us for our hospitality. I understand the occasional staying the night if they've had too much to drink, but sometimes it isn't planned. Is it just me, or is it weird that 30-year-olds still have sleepovers? I wanted to get your thoughts. Thank you.
That's a little not the vibe, you know, especially
it's like, a little weird.
It's not necessarily weird. You know, it's nice that he's still close with his city friends and that they feel comfortable enough and that, like, you know, you guys being in the suburbs isn't going to stop them from doing what they want all night. And if that means they're going to be safe and then, like, crash at your place, it's really nice that they still have that relationship. But there's a time and a place and a season for everything. And having guys crash on your couch while you have a newborn baby, like, it's just not the time or the place. So I would just say something to your husband and just try and figure out, like, a better solve.
Yeah. And I don't think you would be having this problem if they weren't sleeping in the living room.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I would get creative with like futons in whatever other room you have, whether it's an office, like something like a den. I don't know what the house looks like. And if this is truly your only option, then that's it. But try and think creatively, because it is really annoying. Like it halts your whole fucking day when you can't even make a peep in the main living spaces.
How often is this happening that it actually is like bothering you to this
an
point?
Because
if it was like a once, you know, in a blue moon thing, you wouldn't be writing in. Like, is this happening every few weeks? If so, like, they need to set a time for the night to be over and have their Uber take them back to the city. Like, you're not being, even if it's 3 a.m., like, they need to know that that's when they're going.
Or a hotel, Airbnb.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to discourage your husband from like hanging on to friendships just because you guys moved. Like, it shouldn't really change anything. But you're also in this transitional period in your life. And like, when you have a baby, like, you have to be selfish. And that means your husband's 30-year-old friends can't sleep on the couch, honestly. Like, grow up.
Yeah. Especially if it's becoming this regular.
Yeah. If it's like once every 6 months, okay. But if it's like once a month, like, that's fucking annoying.
Yeah. And like,
and also, like, at some point,
have the Uber
men
scheduled.
Are too grown.
Have the Uber
men
scheduled.
Men are too grown to be having sleepovers.
Including,
I'm sorry, I said it.
And mostly, especially your husband. Like,
he's married. He has a baby. Like,
what's
your
he doing once a
home.
Month up till 3 a.m. sleeping on the couch? Like, nah.
Yeah, there's a time and a place and a season, and this is not the season for that. So you, mama, like, you have to channel your mama energy and do what's best for you and your family and your baby
and your dog.
Right. Literally, the dog has to shit so bad, can't get anywhere because fucking slob's living in the living room.
It's like, and maybe he's a little poop shy and he's like, oh no, right. There's guys on my couch.
And he's just expected to take a dump in front of these 2 random people.
No, he doesn't know like that.
Think of your dog. Hey, Jackson Claude. We are 2 OGs writing in. We've been fans since the breath and we cannot wait to see you in Charlotte. Tickets available at girldontjob.com/tour.
Charlotte.
We're in a pickle and we need your help. Our best friend Margot has been dating a PJOM named Bryce for about 5 years. They're getting engaged any day now, and Margot has never been happier. There's just one problem.
Uh-oh.
We are 99.9% sure that Bryce is gay. When they first started dating, we definitely noticed he was a bit on the feminine side, super trendy and stylish, pretty flamboyant, but we didn't think much of it. Over the last couple of years, some things have come to light from Bryce's friends. His friend group consists of girls and openly gay men, and we've met a majority of them. Bryce's friends have shared with us that right before Margot and Bryce started dating, Bryce had taken a secret trip to Paris with his openly gay best friend, Theo. Bryce and Theo then moved in together, and soon after that, Bryce and Margot started dating. We also ran into Bryce a few weeks ago while he was at brunch with his friends, which was 12 girls plus him, and the way they were interacting was as if he was the gay best friend. We have an openly gay best friend in our group, and the brunch encounter we saw him was giving very much similar vibes to how we hang out with our gay bestie. We have a lot of gay friends, and every time one of them has met Bryce, they've asked if he was gay. We could go on for days about all the suspicions, but trying to keep it short, our main concern is that do we let Margot marry this man, and then in 10 years when they're married with kids, it will come out and they'll get divorced. Meanwhile, we're the awful friends who knew Bryce was gay all along. Bryce treats Margot like a queen, and we would hate to ruin her happiness by bringing this to light. She's extremely sensitive, and this would absolutely destroy her. What do we do? Do we mind our own business to spare her feelings? Are we horrible friends for not voicing our concerns? Sincerely, two toasters who probably should have addressed this years ago.
Okay, a lot to unpack here, but first, the first thing I want to say is, like, a lot of what you're saying that you're seeing is, like, stuff that everyone else is seeing, including
right,
her.
Right, he's not hiding it.
Including her, like, his personality, flamboyancy, like, you know, close male friendships, close female friendships. Like, she's privy to all of these things that you're privy to, so, like, you're not telling her that, like, the way that, you're not telling her new information. Also, I mean, if this was my almost fiance, like, I would want to know that he's at brunch with 12 girls. Like, the fuck mm-hmm. are you doing there?
That's also nefarious. That's,
imagine, like, your boyfriend's at brunch with 12 girls. I would want to know that. So that shouldn't have to be, like, a big sit down. You're just like, by the way, I saw Bryce at brunch with 12 girls. Like, you're cool with that? Why weren't you the 13th? Like, right. That's where my mind would go.
See, my opinion on this has changed recently because I feel like I was in a similar situation with somebody that I knew who everyone was like, when we were growing up, like, oh, he's gay. He's always hanging out with girls. But he wasn't. Like, he just had, you know, great female friendships. And it wasn't weird. And then people eventually stopped, you know, saying it. But then he came out. So at first I would have been like, you know, if he's doing all this and he's comfortable, like, being, you know, friends with gay guys and going on trips with them and hanging out with a lot of girls, like, somebody who's in the closet wouldn't do that. But now I don't know because...
Right, but okay. Yes. But so say he had a girlfriend for 5 years. What would you tell her that she doesn't already know and see with her own two eyes? And
right. That's true. And, that's true. I wasn't seeing anything.
And it's like, she's the one who's, like, having sex with him. Like, she would know.
Yeah.
More than
you.
And
it's possible, by the way, that he's bi and she knows, and maybe they don't need to talk about it to everyone and put their label everywhere. Like, you don't know what they know.
Right. So the only thing that it sounds like maybe she doesn't know because you just found this out is the trip to Paris with Theo and living together. So I would just, like, be like, by the way, I didn't know that Bryce and Theo, like, went to Paris together, like, and lived together. Like, how was that?
Yeah.
And just in case she didn't already know, don't act like you're telling her. Just make sure that she knows by mentioning it.
The most important point was the one that you made, which is, like, everything that you are privy to, she is privy to as well. Like, she's not blind. She sees what you see. And either they've spoken about it or she doesn't care. Like, she wants to get married. She wants to be in a relationship. So I don't really think there's anything you can do.
Just make sure you bring up Paris with Theo.
Yeah.
That's the only.
And you can poke and prod, but
and like at when the end you see day, her man at brunch with 12 girls, like, tell her that you saw that, regardless of.
But then, like, she might
his
like
sexual start to, orientation.
She might, like, start to get annoyed with you, like.
No, but you don't have to be a snitch. Just be like, yeah. The brunch with 12 girls is snitchery,
snitchy behavior.
But the Paris with Theo, like, that's, you know,
just interesting factoids. Yeah, be swapping like, of information.
Be like, I'm planning a trip to Paris. Like, can I ask Bryce about his trip with Theo? What'd they do?
Love that. Love. Best of luck, truly. Hello, Jackson Claude and Brazen's Drag.
Hello.
I hope you're well, because I am not. Long story short, we had an event at my work where an esthetician was there performing mini facials. She doesn't have a spa and she travels to people's houses. While she was there, she mentioned that I should book her and that she would hook it up. I texted her last week and she said, oh, I would love to treat you to a facial. I think, oh, so nice, a free facial. I say to her, oh my God, a treat that is so generous, you don't have to do that. She then says it's her pleasure and would love to do so. She sends a booking and the price says $0. Fast forward, she gets to my house, does the facial, and then goes, okay, so I'll do $20 off today. It'll be $200. I was literally so flabbergasted, and I told her that I thought this was free, and she basically gaslit me into thinking that I was wrong. I was so shocked. I paid her on my credit card just to get her out of my house. My question is, should I charge back my card? Should I tell her how grossly uncomfortable I felt in my own home so she doesn't have to do this again to anyone? I completely forgot this ever happened, or should I completely forget this ever happened and block her number? I know this is partially my fault and that I should have clarified, but I was completely misled and she just let me take it and run. I just feel like she has to know how awful this was and she should have just said, like, hey, my problem, it's free, sorry. I have literally lost sleep over this. I feel so dumb, and not only was this facial $200 astronomical for a facial, but I could get one for half the price at a men's spa. Sincerely, a now poor toaster.
Okay,
unless you're going to be running into this girly, like, I would just block, forget, move on. But like, if you're going to be seeing her a lot, maybe it's worth, you know, fixing. But at this point, she's a stranger. You know, she gave you a facial one time. Goodbye.
No, but I think that this is this person's like marketing tactic. I think that this wasn't an accident. I don't think that there was a miscommunication. I think that she wanted you to think you were getting a free facial, hoodwinked you into getting that facial, and then came in with that. Like, it said price $0. She said she wanted to treat you to a facial. Like, I think like this person is kind of running a scheme here.
Now, maybe you should report her to the Better Business Bureau.
I don't know what you do with that information and like who you even tell her. Like, you leave a Yelp review or something.
The BBB.
But I don't think that was an accident. I think that you do have to pay her for the service because it like wasn't, you know, in writing or anything that this was going to be comped.
Even though it was.
But
it was. It said $0.
I know. But that's in the booking. Shady business. And I don't think you should feel stupid because she hoodwinked you. She did that on purpose.
I don't think you should feel stupid, but I think it's the important lesson is like, there's no such thing as a free lunch.
No, but like, sometimes there really is. Like, sometimes there really is. And especially,
why would this random woman give a girl a facial who she met one time at a work event?
Maybe like it was to show her how good the facial, like it could be marketing. I'll give you a free facial, then you'll be able to use my facials. But no, instead, this is what she's doing, like tricking people and to spending $200 with her.
Well, you know what I would do? I would like go search Yelp, her Instagram comments, the Better Business Bureau, see if anyone else has complained about this, or she just like wanted to dupe you, even though I'm sure it's a pattern. Make sure that like this is something she frequently does and then blow her up. Seriously, that's what the Better Business Bureau is for.
Yeah. Okay. Good idea. I think that you have to pay it because it's really like,
she paid it already, but she's saying, should I call my credit card company and like,
and not pay it? Yeah.
Yeah. That's like, I don't know, because like, what if it was just like a genuine miscommunication and then you're like taking money out of her pocket, you know?
From the way she's describing it, I really don't think it was a miscommunication.
Oh, well, you know what? I would do your research, see if anyone else has said anything similar. And if they have, charge that bitch back on the credit card.
Yeah.
You just need a little bit of certainty, a little bit of proof that you're not the only one.
I don't think you're the only one. I think you were taken advantage of.
Me too. I think it's a pattern. It's giving Netflix documentary.
Yeah.
It's giving the Polka King. So those were Dear Toasters. If you guys ever want to write in, it's deartoasters@gmail.com. We will always keep your shit anonymous and you can write in about anything that's going on in your life. Work related, facial related, friends related, money related, wedding related, anything you got. We're going to do our best to help you out. And that's our show.
That's our show.
Thank you so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Morning Toast, leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you guys have an incredible hump day, and we'll see you tomorrow for Thursday, which is our last show of the week. There is no show Friday.
Taking a summer Friday, finally. Woohoo!
Taking a summer Friday. Woo. So we love you dearly. Girls gone wild. Hope you guys. Woo-hoo-hoo. Oh, tits out for the boys. 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 Love you guys. Have an amazing day.
Bye.